Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only. Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians. All while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. This is live call-in radio at its very best, giving you the opportunity to participate in the show. Now here are your hosts for Leading Edge Medicine, Dr. Jerry Mixon and Dr. Samira Umat, along with their co-host, Lynette Morgan.
And a very good morning. And
good morning to you too, Lynette.
What a beautiful day, Dr. Mixon. I bet you were enjoying your trail run this morning.
Well, actually, I skipped it this morning because my 12-year-old daughter left for Korea at 2 a.m.
Oh, boy.
So
okay.
We had to have her at the airport in the middle of the night.
Oh, yes.
So I got in bed quite late and slept in as late as I possibly could this morning and still made it to the studio.
Yes, you did. Very good. Dr. Umat, however, did not. She is gone this weekend.
She is. Last Saturday, she had a niece getting married.
Yes.
So she went for that. And then, unfortunately, she had an in-law, a quite elderly in-law, who passed away early in the week. So they have a funeral this morning. Happy reason to be gone last Saturday.
Yes.
And then a sad one to be gone this Saturday. But family comes first.
There you go.
So,
yes.
You know, we'll put her to work twice as hard when she gets back Monday.
You know it. So there you go. And wasn't it the wish of her in-law to be able to see the niece get married?
Yeah. This was the lady who just died was, I guess, pushing 90,
okay.
Very poor health, knew she was going to die very soon, and wanted to see her granddaughter get married.
Mm.
And so the granddaughter actually moved her wedding up to last Saturday so that grandma could see it before she died.
Which she did.
She saw the wedding and 3 days later died.
Okay.
So
her last wish was fulfilled.
Yep.
So we'll have to find out more about that next week with Dr. Umat. All right. So, Dr. Mixon, just you and I, and last week, our phone lines were down. We didn't know this until the end of the show.
That's right.
We're like, why isn't anybody calling?
Everybody's asleep today, or
yes.
Do they hate us for some reason? What's going on?
Yeah, we're starting
we
to get a complex.
We're actually on the air, and it turns out we were broadcasting, just nobody could phone in.
Yes, and if you were one of those who was frustrated trying to get through, we invite you to call in today. We have been assured by the engineer that, yes, phone lines are working.
That's right. They promised us the phone lines are working today, so pretty please give us a call so I don't have to just natter along for the next several hours by myself.
That's right. That's right. Let me go ahead and give you that number so you can call and get into our phone queue. That number is 800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770 with your calls and your questions about aging, your health, symptoms, diagnosis, whatever it is that you are thinking of. We'd love to talk with you. Dr. Mixon is here, and I am too. This week, Dr. Mixon, anything that you would like to point out? Medical?
Well, you know.
The debate?
I'm not quite sure what to say about it.
Yeah,
you talked in the past about the fact that there is an age-related cognitive decline.
Mm-hmm.
Our brains work the fastest and most efficiently in our late teens to early 20s. Their speed of processing is phenomenal in late adolescence and early adulthood. And that's why those kids can do multitasking, because they switch tasks very quickly and they process each of them very quickly. And as we get older, we lose that and we have to start focusing on one task at a time to do it well. And many functions in both men and women decline, but because men and women's brains are wired differently, we decline in different areas, different mental capacities at different rates. Mm, okay. So we have different nomograms for the rate of decline we expect in healthy men and healthy women. But there's, you know, the good Lord made us human beings by one general plan for men and a slightly different general plan for women.
Why is that?
Well, I've got a little story about mm-hmm. that. But the reality is we also have enormous variability in the rate of decline. And so while everybody goes downhill, some go downhill significantly faster than others. Mm-hmm. You know, there are people in their 90s that are making wonderful decisions and doing quite well on, in their day-to-day life. And no, they're not as fast and flexible as they were in their teens and 20s, but they're still functioning at a level that's quite respectable. And my mother was one of those. My father, not so much.
Okay.
And we saw that, we've seen that on display for the last several years with poor Mr. Biden.
Yes.
Anybody that was objectively watching this gentleman saw that his mental capacities were declining. The problem is, being a very, very prominent politician, the people around him wanted to hide that.
Right.
And unfortunately, one of the classic signs of incipient dementia is denial. Mm. One of the earliest things that happens to us is we lose the capacity to judge our own mental capacity.
Okay.
And we see that a lot with patients that their family will bring in and say, you know, my husband or my father or my uncle, he's just losing it. You know, he can't remember things. He's wandering. He's garbling his speech and so on. And when you talk to the person themselves, they say, everybody is crazy. Yes. They all think I'm crazy, but they're the crazy ones. I'm just fine.
Oh.
And they earnestly believe that the people around them, their loved ones, are plotting against them and wanting to put them in a home because they are confident they are fine.
And they really are. Their brain tells them that they are.
Yeah, and okay. Because they've lost the capacity for self-evaluation.
This is good to know. Okay.
And so, you know, if your uncle or your parents and so on are doing that, and they start to think that you are plotting against them, that is actually one of the classic signs of cognitive decline and incipient dementia. So you've got two things with politicians. You've got that natural and normal, if any part of dementia can be considered normal, but that very common denial mechanism in which they do not recognize it and take great umbrage at the suggestion. They get angry and lash
yes.
out when you suggest them. And we saw that Thursday night.
Yes, we did.
That
wow.
lashing out. But in a prominent politician, you've got all the people around them. Their jobs, their financial security, their role in the power base depends on this person's good functioning.
Wow.
And so they have a strong incentive to deny it and to protect the person and to, you know, hide it as best they can.
Which they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I understand it. It's yeah. a perfectly natural response. You know, in life, you want to see why people do things, always follow the money.
Mm.
You'll get the right answer most of the time. So, you know, that's what's been going on for the last several years. Now, you've got three groups in this country. You've got the group that have a vested interest in Mr. Biden's success. And even if they see his decline, they will hide it. And that's where you've got MSNBC and CNN and the New York Times and Washington Post and the LA Times, people whose livelihoods depend on telling a particular narrative. They may know, but they're going to lie. Okay. You've got the opposite sides. You've got the right-wing media. They, of course, want to expose everything negative they can about the guy. Mm-hmm. And so if there are lapses and pauses and garbled speeches, and they're going to put them on the air and show them.
Yep, okay? They are.
And then we got the third group. And those are the honest Democrat voters. They're slightly liberal-leaning. They would never watch Fox or Newsmax or any of these because they consider them to be evil MAGA conspiracy theorists of some sort. So they only watch MSNBC and CNN and only read the Times and the Post. And the Times and the Post never show those things. So if all you do is watch them, you will only see his better moments.
Wow.
And so those voters, that about one-third of America is going to say, I don't know what these guys are talking about. He's fine. I see him on TV. I see it in my own eyes. He's doing great because they only get the good clips. And the other side mostly gets the bad clips.
Yes.
So Thursday night was a revelation for them because for the first time, that large segment of honest Americans who thought he was doing fine because that's all they ever saw, for the first time, they saw what the right had seen.
The unedited,
live, real-time.
Live debate.
And they're shocked.
Yeah.
You know, they're
aghast.
And
it's sad. Yeah. I mean, this is our president of our country.
Yes.
We're sad for him.
And so we've got a lot of people in this country right now that are really shocked and aghast at what they saw. So where do we go from here? And that's the next question. And I don't know where it's going to shake out.
Yeah.
I am a longtime observer of the human condition, physically, mentally, emotionally. It's what I do for a living.
Yes.
And I try to be as understanding of my fellow man's foibles as I can because I get a fair share of my own, and I'd like it if people were understanding of mine.
Yes, I understand that, yes.
Yeah, I've often said that when I get to be perfect, I'll be more critical of the rest of you. But as long as I'm prone to screwing up, I've got to get the rest of you a break, all right? I don't know how you avoid commenting on it because it is medical. It is what I do. It is human decline with aging.
Yeah, you're not being mean.
And it's a perfectly normal process, and some of us get bit by it earlier than others. And, you know, it's not a plot, and no one is being evil about it, except perhaps the people that knowingly lie and deceive their fellow Americans.
When he needs to be in treatment and getting better. Yeah. Well, he won't be getting
better.
He needs to be in treatment.
Yeah, he needs help.
Deal with what he's going through.
So, you know, but I mean, would I hire him as a physician to treat my patients? No.
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 So, you know, and I had a physician many years ago who was a wonderful, wonderful lady who was just a fantastic human being, but was developing some cognitive issues, and I had to let her go. And I mean, it broke my heart because, again, she did not recognize her problems, just like Mr. Biden. And but she worked for me, and her job was helping to take care of our patients. And whether she recognized it or not, I did. And, you know, I had to move her out of the clinic. It happens.
Mm-hmm.
And I will have my day, too. It is one of those inexorable processes. Time and gravity always win eventually.
What?
You know, our job is to make that eventually as far in the future as practical.
Yes.
That's what we do. Stronger, faster, leaner, smarter, sexier, and happier for as long as humanly possible.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we do at Longevity.
Absolutely. And this show is all about you and what you're going through, your aging process, and answering questions, talking about what's going on with you, maybe a loved one. We have a caller on the line right now. We're going to get to after the break, but we invite you to call in. Our phone lines are working this week.
Hooray!
Yes. Woohoo! If you tried to get through last week, we invite you to try again. We don't want anybody frustrated with questions that they cannot have answered. Here is that number to call, 1-800-465-8770. Marie, we'll be back. You will be caller number one in just a moment. Stay right there. Oh, this is the song that Dr. Umat was just...
That's right. Woo-hoo! She loves this one.
Yes, she does. Dr. Umat off this week. We have Dr. Jerry Mixon in the studio. My name is Lynette. We're going to take our first call right now, and you can get through to 1-800-465-8770. Marie calling in from Seattle. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning. How are you both?
We are doing well, ma'am.
Yes.
How can we help you today?
My husband had high-density brachytherapy radiation for prostate cancer at UCLA in March. It was supposed to be a really simple treatment, and the first one was. It was 2 in 1 week. But the second treatment, they prepped him with these 17 very long needles, and he was supposed to hold completely still, but the machine broke, so they moved him to another hospital, and... he's had trouble ever since. He hasn't been able to void since then. I just wonder what your protocol for recovery would be. He went off most all of his supplements and his hormones.
All right. Well, several things, I guess. I commiserate with the failure of the technology. The machine's broke.
Wow, yeah.
Brings us back to one of my many aphorisms, which is nothing done to or by human beings is perfect. You know, everybody does their best, and you can do everything right, and things can still go to hell. Mm. And unfortunately, it sounds like that's happened. Your husband got bit by that one. Okay, if you took him that far for the radiation therapy, I'm presuming that it was a rather specialized, something more like a proton radiation or a gamma knife, as opposed to the standard external beam radiation, where they're running the gamma rays from different directions so that they overlap in the prostate, but most of the tissues don't get a real high dose, something along those lines. Obviously, I don't have access to his medical records, and your description is lacking in enough technicality that it makes it very hard for me to know exactly what they were doing or what the most likely complications would be. But from what you're describing, my best quasi-educated guess would be that we've got some radiation injury to the bladder and proximal neck of the urethra. The thing with most radiation therapies is we have difficulty localizing them just to the prostate, and even better, just to that small area of the prostate where the cancer might be located that we really want to treat. And so we damage the surrounding tissues. And the prostate is usually a three-lobe gland that is surrounding the neck of the bladder. And in the process of irradiating the prostate, you almost always burn the bladder in the process. Unless you're quite fortunate or especially skilled. And so his voiding problems, I would guess, are related to tissue damage and swelling and difficulty in actually opening up those valves at the base of the bladder that would let the urine through. Best chance, and again, trying to diagnose this from what little I've heard here, I would probably start with something like a PDE5 inhibitor, either sildenafil, the old-fashioned Viagra, or Levitra, the tadalafil. Those are very good at relaxing the neck of the bladder, relaxing the smooth muscles there, and giving more room for things to get through.
What about getting back on his?
His hormones.
Hormones and supplements. Yeah.
Well, you know, actually, it's kind of fascinating. There are some studies out now that are kind of pointing to the idea that men who go back on testosterone and other anabolic hormones after successful treatment for prostate cancer actually have a lower risk of reoccurrence than the men that don't, which I think is fascinating and encouraging. But that's contingent on successful therapy in which you've actually destroyed the cancer, the initial cancer, and you've dropped your prostate-specific antigen down to well less than one, preferably 0.1 or less. So I'd have to see his numbers. I'd have to know a lot more about what the therapy was. You know, I'd want a copy of the medical records. I'd want a copy of the pathology reports from their biopsies. And, you know, I'd really want to see a description of the procedure and the follow-up from the doctors that are actually treating him for this before I could give you anywhere near a competent recommendation about the hormones. Now, the only thing I can be comfortable doing on the radio with as little bit of knowledge as I've got about his particular case is to try the PDE5 inhibitors and see if that helps. They'll do no harm of any kind.
Okay.
And then he might be restarted.
Okay, good. So he did restart.
Recently restarted the Tadalafil.
Good. All right. Okay. That's the
and
first
the PSA
and
is down to 1.1.
All right. But it's still over one. How long ago was brachytherapy?
It was middle of March.
March. So April, May, June. So only 3 months out. Yeah. And you can expect. You're still going to get some tissue destruction because the radiation doesn't remove the prostate. It kills it. And as the tissue is dying, PSA usually goes up for a while, and then it will come back down and down and down. So within 6 months, we should know what his resting state is going to be. But you've still got a little bit of time to wait. So, you know, I know that without his anabolic hormones, he's not feeling very good. Either physically or emotionally, because the men who go off of these are usually fatigued and tired, and depression is very, very common. Discouragement, you know, that drive and ambition and self-confidence that are instilled by the testosterone and dihydrotestosterone are very important for how we feel. But I'm afraid we're going to have to kind of sit tight and watch and do a series of PSAs over time to make sure that it's down in a safe range before we can seriously consider adding the hormones back in.
Okay.
Wish I had happier, cheerful, more immediately actionable news for you. But, you know, above all, we don't want to do any harm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so... since we are doomed by our humanity to make errors, we want to make as many errors as we can on the side of safety. All right?
All right. Any other supplements that can help healing?
Yes. Yeah. There's a whole host of polyphenols that and still beans he ought to be on. So things like curcumin, resveratrol, these improve blood flow. His omega-3 should stay up nice and high. And once more, your longevity doc will give you a long list of those. But, yeah, there's probably four or five things we can do that'll improve the blood flow and the microcirculation, decrease inflammation, and help him clear out the damaged tissue. So that's our goal. So if he hasn't gotten back into the clinic, you know, get him back in ASAP and let's go over his records a bit more and come up with some ideas, okay?
Great. Well, thank you very much for that. We appreciate it.
All right. Take care, my dear. Bye-bye.
You too.
All
bye-bye.
Right. Oh, thank you, Marie, for the call. You can call in, too. Our phone lines are working this week. They were not last week. If you tried and tried and tried and couldn't get through, we don't want you to be frustrated. Try again this week.
That's
it wasn't
right.
Working. We didn't know until the end of the show. Oh, and we took a breath of, it's like, okay, good, it's not us.
That's right.
1-800-465-8770. Before we take our next break, let's go to our next caller. From Redmond wants to talk about metformin. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yes, I just in the news, a couple of things in the news. One of them was what was metformin and how metformin is beneficial when it comes to treating cancer. They're being they're using that as part of the cancer treatment therapy. And I mean, that's not really, they weren't talking about the just taking metformin in and by itself before you get cancer, the preventative aspect of it. I kind of knew about that, that it's, from listening to you, that it, that, so that's why I take metformin and rapamycin, because I figure I'm going to attack as many cancer cells as I possibly can and kill them.
Good for you. Good for you.
But so that was kind of interesting to, I thought to myself, well, I kind of known about this for the last 10 years, so welcome. Welcome lately.
I know.
Late is better than never, right?
So that happens to us a whole lot, that we see breaking news of stuff we've been doing for 10 or 15 years. So
So and related to that, in the news again, the about omega-3s and how dangerous that is. So I go to the gym the other day, and I have a friend of mine that I talk to about this stuff all the time. He goes, you better get off those omega-3s. I go, what? He goes, yeah, they're going to give you stroke and heart attacks, and don't take those pills. Just eat salmon. I said, well, I eat salmon every day anyway. I said, that doesn't matter. I said, my omega score is something to be envied. And I said, you go off your omega-3s. I said, I'm staying on mine. And so anyway, so now there's a new hysteria out there that, don't take fish oil. It's going to kill you. So, any comments?
Well, except that that we've got about 40 years of data showing that your omega-3 levels as opposed to your omega-6s and what those ratios are between the two have an enormous impact on the amount of inflammation in your body. And, the thing that people miss is Dr. Mixon's first rule of medicine, anything strong enough to help is strong enough to hurt. There's an upside and a downside to every decision we make in medicine. You know, your doctor's job is not to give you things that have no risks. They don't exist. Your doctor's job is to get you as many benefits as possible, balanced against as few downsides as practical. But there's always going to be a mix in every decision we make. The balance on omega-3s is far to the positive for most Americans. Now, if you were Japanese and had a primarily marine diet, the idea of adding more omega-3s to you would probably be very stupid. Because that would be the basis of your diet. But Americans, we mostly eat red meats, and we get an enormous amount of omega-6 and virtually no omega-3. So raising the average American's omega-3 is a net benefit by a long shot. I hear the music. We got to take a little break, but I'll be back in just about a minute or two.
That's right. We're going to continue talking about fish oil. Bad for you? We think not. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine. Stay on the line, caller. And if you'd like to get through, here is the number to call. 1-800-465-8770. About your health, maybe a new medicine you're taking, a diagnosis that you're not really sure about, or something that is new symptoms going on in your life. We'd love to have you call us and tell us about it. I also like to hear, and I know you do too, Dr. Mixon, those good stories of, after someone has gone through whatever procedure it is, they're better, or they're taking what you've talked about and they're doing better. We like to hear those good news stories too. Feel free to call 1-800-465-8770. We'll be right back with more Leading Edge Medicine.
Feel like a woman.
Hey! We're back. Good morning. Only one of us here in the studio feels like a woman. That would be me, Dr. Mixon.
Nope.
Yep, Dr. Mixon. Nope. He's happy.
Those rare occasions I get in touch with my feminine side.
And then a minute later, it's like, and, okay, no.
Well, my feminine side is named Bandine.
Okay.
She's my wife. And I stay in touch with her as closely and often as possible.
Yes,
so,
yes.
That is my feminine side.
That is your feminine side. That is your only feminine side. Okay, we're talking with our caller from Redmond about fish oil. He heard that, it's bad. And we're saying, nope, it's not.
Yeah, you know, one of the things we do that I don't know how many doctors are actually offering these days, we run a blood test that measures the amount of omega-3s versus omega-6 fats in your bloodstream. So we actually see what your ratios and your levels are. And then we can make rational decisions about more or less. Okay? If you don't measure, you don't know. It's just that simple. General rule for most Americans is there's not nearly enough omega-3 in their diet. So the general rule has always been, please, people, more fish oil. But, you know, there may be exceptions. There may be those rare people who overdo on the other side. But I don't know any.
Okay.
At least not in our culture.
So for Hilmer eating salmon every day, that's not a bad thing.
Well, no, salmon, you know, if he's eating salmon every day, he's got a massive budget for his groceries.
Yes.
That's an expensive habit. But
plus the walnuts, you know, and there's like, I have an omega score that is like off the charts. It's like, how did you get there?
Yeah, well, you take lots and lots of omegas, and clearly, Hilmer, you're doing great.
Yep, you feel great.
I mean, you've called us enough times that we've got a pretty good feel for where your state of health is, and it's pretty obvious you're doing very well. You know, ignore medical advice from the gym rats, pretty please, because they don't know what they're talking about 90% of the time.
Yeah, this guy, because I remember before he was into this, you know, you can get this pharmaceutical option of only omega, it's like a synthesized. And so he said, well, I'm taking that because that's much more powerful. And I thought to myself, I want to stick with the omega-3s. And so, by the way, then he tells me the other day, my pulse rate, you know, he says, I'm at 175, 180, what I'm doing. I go, maybe you should go get him a heart monitor or something.
Yeah.
That's right. No, if he's tachycardic at that rate, and how old is this guy?
About 65.
Yeah, so, you know, his peak heart rate should be closer to 130, 140, not 170s. So, yeah.
Maybe there's a problem there, huh?
Yeah, there may be. I ran, even when I run, I don't get over about 140. Okay. So.
Well, let's say that you do exercises that are when you have your hands or your arms above your heart, right? Let's say that that tends to raise your heart rate, doesn't it?
It does, and it raises your blood pressure too. Yeah, when I'm lifting, you know, if I'm doing a bench press with 200 plus pounds on the bar, I have no idea what my blood pressure is, but it's probably remarkably high. But you know, that's a stress strain reaction. You're maxing out your upper arm shoulder strength, and you're just pushing as hard as those muscles can do. And yes, your blood pressure is going to the roof, and so is your heart rate. But that's not the standard. Okay, that's not where you run as you're simply walking down the street, smiling and winking at the pretty girls. So,
that might raise your heart rate too. But anyway, that's a different story.
In a good way.
Only in your wildest but most pleasant fantasies.
So, exactly.
All right. Take care, sir. Bye bye.
Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. I love it when people will call and say, hey, I read this or I heard this and this is different. You know, what does this mean?
Yeah. Well, you know, Elmer's called us often. So
yes.
I've got a pretty good gestalt of his situation. And yes, he is one of the people that we have followed his omega-3 index. We know exactly how much omega-3 versus omega-6 is in his bloodstream. and the guy's doing great.
Yes.
You know, he feels great. He's active. He looks good. Come on. Don't bitch and moan at this fellow who's probably doing a heck of a lot better than the other guy at the gym.
That's right. Keep doing what you're doing, Hilmer. Yeah. Very good. We're going to head over to Monroe to take a phone call. We have John on the line. Welcome to the show, John. Good morning.
Hello, John.
Hey, how y'all doing? It's Jeff, by the way.
Jeff.
No worries. Okay, apologies up front. I've had a stroke and I've got ADD, so sometimes I can interrupt myself.
All right.
The main question is my T4 levels. I just had them tested, and it's low at 203.
Okay.
And doc says, like, hey, let's test it again in a month, but let's see if you can lose some weight. It's like, oh, that's subtle. I've pretty much been the same weight since high school, including when I was running marathons and ultra marathons and doing like stupid endurance events and stuff like that. So okay. Like I could lose five pounds, but that's it. Okay. Sidebar. I had a left pontine stroke last year. You wanted good news? This is good news. Last year I had to learn how to walk again. And
wow.
now I'm doing Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Wonderful for
doing
you.
Doing it.
Great.
Doing it. Poorly, mind you, but you
but
know,
doing
it's like
it.
Having your
yeah.
long. But it's a blast. It's the best physical and occupational therapy you can find. It's like having your laundry folded while you're still in it.
Okay.
So I'm on a nothing drastic. I'm on a reasonable low carb diet. Basically, increased my protein intake. My bloods were just last week all good. Bun was a little bit high, 28, uh-huh. And the bun creatine was 23.7. Not right. Something to worry about because, hey, yeah. I do exercise and I've got a high protein diet, so blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Not a problem. Is TRT an option?
Yeah, it's an option.
Okay.
But first thing I want to think of, you know, when you say your issue is your T4 is a little on the low side, and it is. But
yeah.
When we do this, when we do a thyroid evaluation, here's where we look at. We start, always you get a TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. That tells
that's
me,
good.
Okay, so if your TSH, what is good? Have you got a number?
Hang on, I gotta put you on speakerphone to see that.
Gotta fill in the dead air here.
That's right. The T4 was a low at 203, so he's checking the other numbers.
We're checking the TSH right now.
Okay.
That tells us what his pituitary thinks about his thyroid levels.
Okay.
Okay, TSH stands for thyroid stimulating hormone. And so if your brain thinks that your thyroid is too low, your TSH goes up and to stimulate the thyroid to work harder. If your pituitary thinks you have enough thyroid, your TSH goes down because it's not trying to stimulate the thyroid anymore.
Okay.
So we always look at the TSH to start with to see what the pituitary is thinking. Okay. Then we do
194.
1.94. Okay, 1.94. Yes, it's pretty good. I like it as close to 1 as possible. The so-called normal
right.
range is from 0.4 to 5.4. So it's a very wide range,
yeah.
Okay? But I keep it as close to 1 up to 2. So, you know, 1.9, yeah, you're on the upper limit of where I like it, but that would tell me I don't want to throw a lot of extra TSH on, or a lot of extra thyroid T4 on you. And then
we look at your
total T4 and your free T4, because much of your T4 is tied up in protein complexes. And so what we're really interested in is what is the free T4, that is the thyroid hormone that is not bound to proteins and is available to do its thyroidish job for you, all right? And then once that T4 is in your bloodstream, your tissues will convert a fair bit of your T4, they'll strip off one of the four iodines, convert it to T3. T3 is about 3.5 to 4 times more potent than T4. So T3 is your big worker bee that's doing a lot of the actual job. So then we want to see what is his total and his free non-protein bound T3. Okay. And once we've got your TSH to tell me what your pituitary is thinking, which yours is pretty good, your total T4, your free T4, your total T3, your free T3, then we want to go through and say, what is this guy's symptom score? What's he doing from his metabolic rate? Is he energetic? Is he wide awake? Is he getting drowsy in the afternoon, et cetera, et cetera? Because
that's where it gets complicated.
Because if all the numbers look good, but your body is screaming at me, you know, low thyroid, then we have to start saying why. The numbers are good, but the physiology is not so good. So then we have to start looking at thyroid antibodies or reverse T4, reverse T3, which are isomers of the thyroid hormones that are non-active. They're there, they get measured, but they don't do the job. So there's a lot of things we can look at, you know, depending on how the patient is doing, because we're treating the patient, not the laboratory. The laboratory gives us hints about what we should be looking for in the patient, but the patient is the final analysis.
Bingo, because it gets real, yeah, no worries, sorry. It gets real complicated after stroke because, as you know,
yes.
the number one symptom is fatigue, brutal. Yes. Fatigue, like everything takes three times as much energy, and you have about a third. I don't know how the math works. I'll carry the one. You're pretty much dead. Like people say, oh, I'm tired. Yeah, I know what you mean. No, you don't. I've run ultras. I've run marathons. Yeah. I really know what
fatigue. You know tired.
Yeah, you know tired to the point of ready to collapse. Yes.
The end of the day, and it doesn't matter whether it's working or whatever, the end of the day, you feel like you just ran a marathon. And that is every single day. So the number one issue with me is fatigue.
Punting strokes are really high on my list of things I don't want to get. So, yes, I do understand what you're talking about. All right, music says we got to take a break. We'll be back in about a minute or two.
Yep, stay right there, Jeff.
Just a minute, okay?
Yes, and we can take your call too. Jeff will hang on the line. We're going to talk about the fatigue of that and what we can do. 1-800-465-8770. We have room for you in our phone lines. Phone lines are open right now. So get in the call queue, 1-800-465-8770 for Leading Edge Medicine. We'll be right back.
Touching hands, reaching out, touching me, touching you.
Wait a minute, isn't that called sexual harassment?
No, we can't do that.
Reach out and touch anybody these days. What is he thinking about? Take this song up here.
We might have to do the Coming to America song instead.
That's right.
Oh, yes. Good morning. You're listening to Leading Edge Medicine.
But you know, when they wrote Coming to America, it was a very different country.
True. Yeah.
It was not the current version of America.
Yeah,
it was the America where people stood up and got a tear in their eye when they heard the national anthem. Anyway.
Yes. Welcome back, Leading Edge Medicine. We're talking with Jeff.
Yeah, Jeff, let me make a few comments here for you. A, congratulations. Pontine stroke and you are, you know, doing jujitsu. You say not well. The fact that you're doing it at all and you're up and walking and, you know, functioning is quasi-miraculous. So you clearly are a man of great determination and willing to put up with a lot of frustration over your disabilities to try to recover from them. So
My wife thinks she spelled stubborn wrong.
Yeah, I do understand. My wife is, anyway, you know, I am not always that easy to live with. But let me make a few suggestions here for you, because what we want to do is to get your get your brain recovering as well as it possibly can. And that means we need you growing new neurologic tissue, new neurons,
yep.
and to repair the old ones, okay? So we have to get the autophagocytic process in your body, your autophagy, going full steam. So several things I would want to check on you. One is I'd want you on something called spermidine. Spermidine is it's an over-the-counter supplement. It is fascinating in that it significantly increases tissue to heal and repair and replace old, worn-out, damaged tissue with new cells. So that process of replacing the old with the new gets put in high gear. And there are a fair number of studies, even on people with brain injuries and or dementia, showing that significant doses of spermidine have helped. They actually can improve function, both cognitive and the neuromuscular.
I've come across that in literature, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, you should be on spermidine at twice a day, even three times a day. I'd hit you pretty hard with it. I would be very interested to measure the IGF-1, the insulin-like growth factor in your bloodstream. That's an indirect indicator of your growth hormone levels. Because you are a man of some mature years, and at your age, your production of growth hormone is probably pretty low. But the brain requires growth hormone and IGF-1 to grow new tissue, to heal and repair. So I would want to keep your IGF-1 in a healthy, robust, more youthful level if I possibly could. I would want to get the inflammations in your system as low as possible. So I'd be really sensitive to your high sensitivity insulin or complement reactive protein. And then your muscle mass is going to be incredibly important. Working muscle is the biggest single source of brain-derived neurotrophic factors, a specific hormone that your body uses to make new neurons, to heal and repair damaged brain tissue. And the more muscle you've got and the more frequently it is worked and the harder it is worked, the more neurotrophic factors you kick out to help repair the damage to your brain. And in that way, if my goal is to get your muscle mass up, then I also want to take a close look at your anabolic hormones, your dehydroepiandrosterone, your testosterone, and
it's low. It's at 203.
Yeah, and see all of those, because those increase your capacity to make lean muscle, and the lean muscle in turn, if you're working it, gives you a higher capacity to make new brain cells. So
absolutely, squats are king. I'm a firm believer. I've been following Huberman's work for the last couple of years, and it's like now it's it really hits home. Absolutely agree with that. I used to be a power lifter way back in the day, and then I got into endurance sports. One slight complication, I don't know if it is, I had zero risk factors for my stroke, and it turns out after extensive hematology, we found out I've got high factor 8.
Okay.
And I remember that from back in the day, and it's like, factor 8, that's in the coag chain. Where
yes,
does that
it is.
Fit in? Wait a minute, that's hemophilia. This is the opposite of hemophilia.
That's right, yeah, you're hypercoagulable. And
yeah, so I'm on Eliquis for life because, you know, it's like I'm a walking time bomb. But I need optimal, not survival.
Yes. Well, and that is what we try to do at Longevity Medical Clinic. You know, we never accept normal. Normal's great when you're 18. By the time you're a real grown-up, normal stinks because bad stuff is happening to you if you're normal. So I try to use a healthy 25-year-old's laboratory values as my targets. Not, you know, if you're 60 or 70, I still want a 25-year-old's lab values. That's what we're shooting for. And we replace whatever we have to replace to get you there. So you know, if you have not yet been a patient at Longevity, you probably should be, because I don't know anybody but us that's going to really push you to try to optimize your chances of recovering as fully as possible from this injury.
Yeah, I've got a great doc, but he's conservative, and it's more like, you know, you're within normal ranges. Well, okay, yeah. But...
to hell with normal range. At your age, normal range is not acceptable. It just is not. Okay? So, I mean, with all due respect, I disagree with your doctor, because normal's not the goal. Okay, normal means you're falling apart on schedule. And I guess if falling apart on schedule is your goal in life, fine. But I want my people as strong, fast, lean, smart, sexy, and happy as humanly possible, as long in life as possible. And that's not normal. All right. It's remarkable, but it's what our goal is. So.
Yeah.
All right. But thank you for the call, sir. And, you know, good luck.
Thanks for the
good
mm-hmm.
luck.
Thanks.
All right.
And I'll be seeing you in a bit.
Okay. Take care. Bye bye, sir.
Very good. Very good. We are coming up on a break here in just a few minutes, and we have some more phone calls, which is great. Our phone lines are working this weekend. We are very happy about that. 1-800-465-8770. When I hear you say the word optimal, Dr. Mixon, that is what you do here at Longevity. It's not just get through and here's a pill to cover it up.
The problem that... the basic problem I see with our medical care system is it is not a healthcare system. It gets called that, but it's wrong. It's not a healthcare system. Our system is designed to treat diseases, and aging is the number one risk factor for a wide variety of diseases. And so as you get older, it's normal, quote, if normal is what usually happens, for you to develop more and more diseases. Your blood pressure goes up, your cholesterol goes up, your muscles get weaker, your brain slows down, your bones thin out, your heart doesn't work as well, your lungs don't work as well, your kidneys don't work as well, and all of that is perfectly, quote, normal. To hell with normal.
Yes.
I don't want to be normal, okay? I want optimal. I want the best every human being can be for as long as possible. You know, I walked into a metro market this morning to get my morning coffee on my way to work, to way to the show. And the girls there have seen me many times. And one of them, I wasn't wearing my coat that hides my figure. So she actually saw my chest and my belly, you know, with my shirt. And she said, "The white hair tells me one thing, the body tells me something else. How old are you?" And I said, "Why don't you guess?"
Yes.
And she said, "Well, you got the white hair, maybe 53. And I said, "Thank you, my dear."
Yes.
But no, it's 77.
And then her mouth went wide open and she said, "No way."
Yeah. And I am not I am not genetically blessed. I am not someone who has always been in great health.
You had to work hard.
Yeah, in my youth, I got my butt shot off, literally. I've been shot, stabbed, and blown up, okay? I lost much of my left knee to a hand grenade. I had bullets in my thigh and my ankle on the right side. I took two rounds to the left arm, one in the right arm. Still got shrapnel in the diaphragm under my heart. And then I got fat by 50.
Oh, boy.
Okay? But then I started on our program. And... now I do much, much better than, quote, normal.
Normal.
Okay. Normal, I'd be doing 8 push-ups in the morning at my age. What I do? 70 this morning.
Oh. All right. So. And that was after getting up in the middle of the night to take your daughter to the airport.
Yes. So, you know, normal stinks when you're our age. Normal's not acceptable. Pretty please, don't put up with normal. Let Longevity make you faster, stronger, leaner, smarter, sexier, and a hell of a lot happier than you would be normal.
Absolutely. And we're going to talk about how you can do that when we come back from the break. And we're going to get to some more phone calls, too. Stay right there. This is Leading Edge Medicine, hour number 2 on the way.